Today's shiur is Masechet Menachos, Daf Ayin Zayin. We will begin on Daf Ayin Vav Amud Beis at the bottom of the Amud, at the Mishnah, the new Perek. Tarek Daisha, of course, speaks about bringing a carbon taidah. We know, we've discussed many times, when a carbon taidah is brought, besides that the animal which is brought for a carbon taidah, we also bring four types of breads, matzah, 4 times 10, four types, chalas, rekikin, revuka, and chametz, 10 of each, and one is separated and given to the kohen, the truma, as we will be discussing, and the other 9 are eaten by the owner of the carbon or his guest, l'yoyim v'layla, for 1 day and 1 night. The Mishnah begins by discussing how much flour is used to bake those breads. Because over the history of Klal Yisrael, they changed the amounts of the weights. And therefore, given the different situations, we need to know how much is used. So says the Mishnah, Toidai Sabah Chomis Sa'im Yerushalmis. They used 5 saw of the Yerushalayim wheat, Sheish Midbaris, which is, if we would measure them, with the original measuring, the Midbarius measure, it's 6th. It means in Yerushalayim, they added a 6th to the weights, and therefore that what was originally 5, which originally was 6, is now 5. Similarly, Shtei Ephos, the 6 saw in Midbarius, from which the Lachmei Taida were baked, equal shtei eifos, having them 2 eifos. Each eifa is shloish soim, is 3 soim. That means 2 eifos are 6 saw, and each eifa has in it 10 esroinim. So that means when we have, now says the Mishnah, so we have these eifos, so 2 eifos contain esrim esorin. They contain 20 asarin, which are divided in the following fashion. As we said, there are 40 loaves. 10 of the loaves are chametz, and 10 of those loaves are made out of 10 asarin. And there are another 30 loaves, which are all matzah, and those 10 asarin are used to make the 10 loaves of matzah. So what we're actually learning is they used much more flour. They used much more flour to bake the chalos than to bake the matzah. Asara, as we just said, 10 asroinim were used to bake the chametz loaves, isarin l'chala. So we have 10 isarin and we have 10 chalas. So the formula is quite obvious that each challah is made out of an asarin of flour. V'asarin l'matzah, 10 asarin are used for the 30 matzah. Asarin l'matzah, v'matzah shalosh minim. The matzah, as we said, is made up of 3 varieties. Chalos rekikin in revuka. Tarek Doshah says, im al toida yak rivenu, dikrav al zavach atoida chalos matzois, belulas b'shemen, rekike matzah, meshukin b'shemen, v'soilus merveches, chalois, belulas b'shemen, and Rashi explains that these, the pasuk here is trying to teach us the 3 different types of variety of matzahs that are brought for lachmei taida. The Rambam explains that how much oil was used to make these 30 chalas, 1/2 a leg of shemen. Again, the Rashi Rambam says this shear is aloch l'mosh m'sinai. A revius was used for the revuka, because the revuka, as we're going to learn, needed a lot of oil. A shminis was used for chalab, for chalos, and a shminis for a kikin. The chalos, you take the oil, the flour, and you mix him with a shminis of shemen. And then you knead that together and bake it. That's what is known as mafatana. Rekikin is the wafers that are smeared with an eighth of a log after the bake, and the revuka is you take the flour, you scald it in boiling water, bake it a little, and then afterwards you fry it in oil, and very similar to the way you would make a donut. Says the Mishnah further, for matzah, as we just said, shloish minim, there were three types of matzah, chalas, rikik, and revuka. So it turns out, says the Mishnah, shloish esroinim v'shlish l'kol min of a min. From the matzah type of breads, you used three esroinim and a shlish for each one of the three types of chalas, and three and a third times three equal 10. V'shalosh chalas lisarin, so it turns out that you're making from three esroinim and a third, you make 10 chalas. That means each challah is made up, chalas matzah is made up of a third of a sarin, a flour. Continues the Mishnah, Ubamida Yerushalayim, when we speak about Midas Yerushalayim, so Midas Yerushalayim is not measured in a sarin, and Midas Yerushalayim are measured by kabin, in that, as we said, the Midas Yerushalayim, they changed the values. It was a sixth bigger than the Midbarius. So we have Shloish Shekabim. We start with five son, and each saw has in it six kav. So we have altogether 30 kav, six times three. Chamisha asla chametz, 15 of those kav were used for chametz, and chamisha asla matzah, and 15 kav were used to bake the matzah type loaves. Chamisha asla chametz, if we say that we have 15 for the 10 chalas, so that means 15 kav for the 10 chalas, that means kav machzel chala. Each chala was made up of a kav and a half. Chamisha asla matzah, if we have 15 kav for the 30 matzahs, uber matzah shlish minyan, shlish minim, and when we speak about the matzahs, we've been saying there are three different types of matzahs, chalas, rikik, and revukin, nimtzah chameshis kavim chamin amin, if we have 15 kavin for the three types of matzah, that means each type of matzah used five kav, and that means shtei chalas l'kav, that from each we made two chalas per kav, because we have 10 matzahs for five kav, that means each chala, two chalas were a kav, or another way of saying is that each chalas matzah was a half a kav. Says the Gemara, we learned in the Mishnah, Hatoy Daisabah, Chamesh Sa'am Yerushalayim, that we use five Sa'am Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim type Sa'am, to bake the chalas for the carbon taida. Ask the Gemara, Menon Emili, where do we know this halacha from? Says the Gemara, Amr Chizdam Akra. The Pasuk says in Yecheskel, Ha'ifa v'abas toichen eched yia. That means the Pasuk is saying that there are two types of measurings, two types of shiurim, and that is we have a eifa and a bas. And says the Gemara, ma bas, shlosh son. So suggest the Gemara, if we're saying a bas is made up, it was saying that a bas is made up of three son. So if now that would mean that the eifa as well, is made up of shlosh son. And says the Gemara, bas kufa menolan. How do we know that a bas is made up, asked the Gemara, of three soim? Elaim b'diksev, loseis maisa chaymer abas. The Torah tells us to take, the abas is a tenth of a chaymer. And a chaymer, the Gemara is saying, is 30 soim. That means a bas contains three saw. Says the Gemara, eifa nami, asked the Gemara,
the pasuk when it speaks about the eifah, haksiv ba'asiris hachomer eifah. So we take an eifah. Eifah is a tenth of the chomer. Eifah is a tenth of the chomer. So if that's the case, we don't need another pasuk to tell us what the eifah and the bas is. It's obvious that that's what it is. Why did the pasuk have to tell us this to show us what the shear is? Elam, says the Gemara, the reason why we had to do it, because chaymer lo yidana kama, we don't really actually know what makes up a chaymer. So says the Gemara, hachinami, if that's the case, when the pasuk says, losses meiser a chaymer abas, lo yidana kama, we don't know what a chaymer is. And if we don't know what a chaymer is, so everything we're discussing, we don't know what an eifah will be, we don't know what a bas will be. So what is the purpose of this exercise of saying that the chaymer and the bas are the same? Says Luma El Mahacha. This is what the pasuk says: V'choyk Hashemen, habas Hashemen masa habas manakor, asaros habatim chaymer, kasaros habatim chaymer. The Torah says that the halacha of the meiser of oil, the bas, which is a type of a measure that's used for liquid, that's what's used to take a tenth of a kor. So now that we know that a kor is 30 saw, so and the bas is a tenth of that, so we know that a bas contains 3 saw. And the pasuk continues to teach us that 10 batim, which means 30 saw, is going to be the shear of a chaymer. So the chaymer and the kor are the same. And now we can understand when the pasuk says that when it says that we take a bas for a maisa, the chaymer, the bas are both the same, both equal 3 saum. Just the difference is that the bas is used to measure liquid, as we said, and the eifah is used as a dry measure. Says the Gemara Amishmu. So says Shmuel, we learned in our Mishnah that they used to change the measure. Midbarius Yerushalayim. But Shmuel teaches us Emes Sif El Midos Yos Mishtos. That we're going to change it, we're not going to change it into more than a sixth. Why? Because we don't change the measures more than a shtus. And furthermore, if we're going to change the value of money, also we don't change the joys of a shtus. V'hamistakar, if somebody does business, he shouldn't earn loystak yos mishtos. He should not take earnings more than profit more than a sixth. Ask the Gemara, what's the reason that we limit the changing of the size of measures to a sixth? My time, ilay mishma fukitara. We're concerned that when we're going to change the size of the measures, the price is going to go up, and we're afraid that the price will go up too much. What are we concerned? We're concerned that people will not know about the change of the measures, and they're going to think that prices went up not because they changed the measures, but there's a shortage of food. And that's going to cause inflation on the prices of food. So if the Gemara is concerned that people are not aware of that, and because people are not aware of that, we're going to be creating unnecessary inflation, ask the Gemara, Hachi Shtos Namiloi. If there's such a concern, that the reason, then we shouldn't even allow it to be changed by a sixth, says the Gemara, Ella Mishamayna. We learned in Masechta B'Metzia quite extensively that the Torah teaches us Halacha V'Noah. The Halacha is that if something has a set price, you're not allowed to overcharge or undercharge more than a sixth. If it's more than a sixth, then the whole transaction is null and void, bittul mekach. If it's a sixth, then the halacha is that you have to return. So if people are not going to know about the change, and therefore they're going to charge the wrong price, so we want it to not be charged more than a sixth. Because if we're going to change the measure by more than a sixth, what's possibly going to happen is that people who are not aware of what happened will overcharge or undercharge by a sixth, and then the deals will become null and void. Kehecha, that we don't want to end up with a situation that the entire deal, the entire transaction will be voided. Ask the Gemara, which means as follows. Yes, when we're charging for something, as we're learning here, we're supposed to charge only involving a sixth profit. But that's if something is not sold by weight or by number. But if something is sold by weight or by number or by measure, and we agreed that I'm selling you a certain number, I'm selling you a certain measure, and then I did not give what was supposed to be given, that doesn't make a difference how much or how little the product, the amount that was given is wrong, then stale is nullified. And the way Rashi explains it is quite easy. When somebody is selling something not by an exact measure, when you sell something not by exact measure, so then it's possible to be a little off. And the halacha gives us room. The halacha gives us room for that type of discrepancy. But when we're selling something by an exact number or by exact weight or measure, there's no room for mistake. We agreed in a certain amount, and that's what should be delivered. And if it's not delivered, so then it's automatically wrong. So here we're speaking about changing the weights or the measures. So there's no room for, and we're worried that somebody won't be aware of it, etc. There is no room for discrepancy, says the Gemara, the whole different explanation. The concern here is, Ela Mishum Tagra, we're worried about a businessman, we're worried that he's going to have a loss. Because what happens, what do people typically do? They buy merchandise, and what's going to happen here is somebody bought merchandise that's worth 5 sloim, and as we're learning, the typical profit margin is a sixth. So he's going to sell it for 6, he buys it for 5 sloim, sells it for 6 sloim, and profits 1 seller. What happened is, he's not going to realize that this is what happened, and he's going to buy it at the price of 6 seller, and that's all, he's going to buy it and it's worth 6 seller, because that's what is according to the old measure. But now the new measure, 5 became 6. If 5 became 6, he's going to at least break even. So ask the Gemara, and that's what we're trying to accomplish. Ask the Gemara, breaking even is a option. The Yanahu de la Limte, that we just don't want him to suffer. The Rachalai Bai, does he not need any profit? Says the Gemara, Zavin to Zavin Tagri Ikri, somebody who sells at the price that he bought, is that called a businessman? And therefore, the Gemara is saying that if the whole purpose here is to avoid any discrepancy in transactions by limiting it to a sixth and having the rule that everything is, you're always allowed to make, you always make profit of a sixth, we haven't accomplished anything. So the Gemara just taught us that somebody who sells something for an exact amount, there's no room for discrepancy. There's a big machlokes rishonim. When we mentioned earlier, when we spoke about the halakos of Enoah, we identified, depending on how much of an overcharge or undercharge, the halacha dictates, the halacha will dictate what should we do. Should we look at it as just as acceptable when it's less than a sixth? When it's a sixth, we said that the halacha tells us to give back the overcharge, and more than a sixth, we nullify. But we also just learned in the Gemara that when it's something that's been made of a mishko, then these rules don't apply. What does that mean when we say the rules don't apply? Rambam says that if somebody overcharged in this type of situation, somebody did not give exactly what there was a contract for, you have to pay, you have to make it up. So if I was supposed to give you a pound and I gave you less than a pound, I have to make sure to give you a pound. The Ravid learns, no, that if I didn't give you what I was supposed to give, so that's a case of bittel mekach. And the Rishonim point out from the wording of our Gemara The Gemara seems to teach us that by a type of this situation, the deal is off, like the Ravid said. So the Rav Chaim Briska, in trying to explain the opinion of the Rambam, says, when does the Rambam agree that this deal, that we just have to make up what is missing, is in a situation where both of us agreed on a certain amount, and there, for example, we agreed that I'm going to give you 100 nuts, and I ended up giving you 99 nuts. So the Rambam says, there's no reason to nullify the deal. I have to give you 100 nuts, so now I should give you the 100 nuts. But in our case, that where the entire measure changed, it's not just that I didn't give you what I was supposed to give you, or I gave you more or less than I was supposed to give you. The entire measure changed. In a case where the entire measure changed, even the Rambam will agree to the Ravid, as is indicative in our Gemara, that the deal is nullified. So the Mishnah says, the Gemara told us that if somebody who sells could only make profit of a sixth. So Rashi says, is that true, that somebody is in business, according to the halacha, is never allowed to make profit of more than a sixth? So Rashi says that we're speaking about oichel nefesh. And as many Rishonim point out, when we're selling commodities that people need to live on, there, Chazal were concerned that one should not gouge and that the profit should be kept in check. But if it's something that is not chaya nefesh, then these rules don't apply. There's a question, what is considered oichel nefesh? Is it anything that's food, or is it anything that is necessary food? The question that the Rishonim speak about, it's relatable, obviously, in our world as well, would be, for example, if it's like spices. So basic food items, basic commodities, we understand have to be so people have to have. But what's going to be if it's a commodity? The Gemara spoke about making the measures bigger. What would be the halacha about reducing the size of measures? The Sfasema says that any reduction is forbidden, even less than a sixth, because the pasuk that we started the shiur with only spoke about making the shiur bigger. The pasuk never spoke about making something smaller. Clearly, what was the point? The point was that if it's making smaller, it's never permitted. The Sma has a very different opinion. And the Sma says that our Gemara is only focused on making bigger. And the Gemara, because of the reasons the Gemara gave, says that we should only make it a sixth bigger, no more. He said when it comes to reducing the size of measures, we're not that concerned because people are more likely to know that than when they're made bigger. I'm not exactly sure why. And therefore, the Sma says that even though we have rules that the Gemara is discussing about how much bigger can a measure be made, everybody would agree that making him less is fine. But one interesting thing that the Aruch HaShulchan points out, Agamara is focused on not overcharging, making sure that the merchants only earn a sixth. So he speaks about a case, what's going to be the halacha if somebody's willing to take less than a sixth. But by taking less than a sixth, that's going to cause that everybody's going to shop by him because his prices are cheaper and everybody else will not be able to keep up. And what's going to be? So the Aruch HaShulchan seems to take the position that we want to have a fair marketplace. And therefore, we have to be careful not about raising prices, but also not about making prices lower. The Sefer Noimali Ezra discusses a case where somebody was in the business of selling bagels for restaurants. And somebody came along and started to offer these products for less. What was his goal? His goal was that he's going to put his competition out of business, and then he'll be able to do whatever he wants. And the question is, are you allowed to lower prices with that type of intention. And he says, the halacha is that just like the halacha is concerned about charging too much, as we're learning here, and making too much profit, the halacha, he says, equally is concerned about putting people out of businesses. And therefore, one may not lower the price, and the Sharm HaTzion Balacha paskins this way, if his goal in lowering the price is to hurt somebody else, is to hurt somebody else's business. So now I saw that Chishuk Chemed discusses an obvious question. He speaks about a case that where we live, in the world that we live, we're not living only in a world of people who are medagdik in halacha and are careful what the halacha says. And even if people are following what we're learning in our Gemara, for example, not to make more than a price, a sixth profit, what's going to be halacha in the world that we live in with non-Jewish merchants, non-religious merchants that are not bound or not to the halacha? Do any of these halachas apply? And he says that in a world where we have stores who are not following these rules, and Beis Din doesn't have the ability to enforce these rules, so then the halacha is that in all these cases where in the world that we live in, where Beis Din doesn't have this type of ability, that the halachas that we're learning about don't apply. Elam Rav Chisda. So now Gemara goes back. Why are we limiting to a sixth and changing the size? Elam Rav Chisda Shmuel Krav Ashkach. Shmuel found another pasuk for Darish. The pasuk says in Sefer Yecheskel. The pasuk says that a shekel esrim geira. The shekel is made up of esrim geirim, esrim shkolim, chamesh esrim shkolim, esrim v'chamesh shekel hamana yilachem. So we can't all the shkolim in this pasuk, 20 plus 25 plus 15, will have 60. That's the size of a mana. The mana has in it 60 shkolim. And Shmuel was troubled with this pasuk because we know that a shekel is made up of 4 zuzim. So if that's the case, mana must have abenhava. How can we say that the mana has in it 60 shkolim, which 60 times 4 equal to 40, when we know that the mana has in it 25 shkolim, which is 100 zuzim? How do we reconcile this? Elo shmamina tlas. Because of this question, Shmuel says, shmamina mana shel kodesh kafel haya. The mana of chulin indeed had 100 zuzim. The mana of kodesh is double the size. That would make it 200. But then we go a step further. The shmamina mesifin al amidus, we could increase the size. So we start off with 200 and we add a sixth, so that will make it 240. The Shmamina, and also a halacha that we waited for this moment to explain, Shtuslumvar. How do we count a sixth? So in our world, when we say a sixth, for example, we say a sixth of 100, sixth of 200, so a sixth of 100 is six. That's not the way they measured a sixth. That's called, when we measure a sixth of 100 as being sixth, that's milgav. But they didn't measure milgav. They measured milbar. So we're going to measure a sixth of 200, which we're saying is the shekel HaKadosh. We need to end up with a number which will be a sixth of the original number when we add the new number. So we started with 200, and now we'll say 240. 40 is a sixth when we look at the amount that we added as well. Amarava, Masnisa Namideka. From our Mishnah, we could also see that when we measure the milbar, says the Gemara, that what does that mean? What that means is that the Tari Hatoidai Subah Chamisoim. We said that it was originally 5, and then we added a sixth. So if we start with 5 and we add a sixth, and we look at the sixth milbar, the new number will be 6. So we see that the number we could always add is a sixth, and the sixth is counted milbar. The Gemara continues. and discussing the parasha of the Karban Toida. And it's interesting to point out that Kedushas Levi, when he speaks about the Karban Toida, he says that a Karban Toida, as we learned and will be learning, is brought when somebody experiences a nes. And that brings us to recognize that there's a Hashem in the world. But there's two ways to understand this. When somebody sees something extraordinary, unusual, that proves that there's a Hashem in the world that could change all laws of nature. And the other way is that a person doesn't have to see anything unusual. A person just thinks about the world we live in, and when he thinks about the world we live in, he realizes the greatness of our Kadosh Baruch Hu. And we have had different experiences, says the Kedushas Levi, in our history. He says, when Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim, they saw incredible nisim with the till the dough didn't even rise. HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed himself. That's one part of Karban Toida. That's the Karban Toida of the matzah. The matzah represents, like it was in Mitzrayim, incredible, extraordinary nisim. But then there's another type of nes, which is represented by the chametz. The chametz is the usual bread that we eat every day. And what we're saying is that they're both ways of recognizing and serving Hashem. But not only are both ways of recognizing and serving Hashem, they really represent much more than that. What they actually represent, as we learned in the Mishnah, as we started today's shiur, that the same amount of flour that was used for the chametz is used for the matzah, even though, as we started the shiur, by saying there's so many more loaves of matzah, 30 versus 10, to tell us that the nes that we find through the matzah, the nes that we recognize through everyday living, not seeing extraordinary miracles, is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to see. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to see and recognize and see Him not only in the big miracles, but in what we experience on a daily basis. Begins the Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, Mikulam, from these four different types of loaves, Hainotel Echemhem, Echemesar Truma. One of each of the four types of loaves was taken for Truma. Shenema, as the Pasuk says, V'kriva Echem Mikol Karban Truma Hashem. We take one of the 10 of each type of loaf and give it for Kohen. For the Kohen Hazarik Sadam Shlom Lo Yiyah. Echad, says the Gemara, Shlayit Parus. The first halacha that we're learning is that the bread that's taken has to be a whole bread. We call carbon, she call kamanais shavus. That means each one of the four types has to have the equal number, 10 per type. Moreover, the shlayita mekarbon al chaveri. That means the halacha is that one would maybe think that I'll make more of one type and give more of that type to the kohen. Teaches us the Torah that you have to give four chalas, four different types of loaf from each one. The kohen hazorek sdam shlam lo yir, one of these four should give into the kohen, v'shan nech labalim, and the rest are eaten by the owners. And as we're going to learn in the Gemara, the taking off a whole loaf and not a partial loaf is absolutely essential. Even though we normally learn that Shana Lava Kosov L'Akif, and we only have this rule when the Torah says it twice, we don't have this halacha mentioned twice. It says Daruch Haner that the Torah, the Gemara, has compared the Lachmei Toida to Lachmei Nazar, and by the Lachmei Nazar, the Torah says Ken Yosar, and the Torah by saying Ken Yosar means that it's essential to be done that way. So the halacha is similarly here that it has to be done that way. And therefore, you have to have 40, and you have to take one of each. You can't say, well, I'll give the kohen wants, or the owner wants, that the halacha is you have to give them one of each, and you can't compensate one for the other. Begins the Gemara, The pasuk says Tana Rabbanan. The pasuk says Nimenu Hamachuber. That means that all of the Lachmei Toida have to be near each other. The Rashi explains they all have to be in one Keli when we're doing this. Tosfos doesn't agree, and Tosfos says that as long as they're near each other, that is sufficient. And Tosfos explains, because when would the halacha require that they all should be in one keli? Says Tosfos, when there's a rule that we need the keli to be mekadesh them. In our Gemara, we don't need the keli to be mekadesh them. And since in our Gemara, we don't need the keli, to be mekadesh them, we just have to have them next. Echad, as we've been learning, shloyit l'paris. It has to be a whole challah. Mikol karbon, sheikol karbonos shavus. They all have the same number. Shloyitin, as we've been learning, when a karbon al sheni, you can't take one from the other. Trumal Hashem, says the any day kamehi. We don't, the pasuk is not telling us how many challahs we take. Hareni don. So that means how many do we start with and how many do we have to give to the kohen? Says the one nemakan truma. What percentage goes to the kohen? Says the one the Torah uses the word truma here. Venema truma smaisa. Truma smaisa means that we give maisa, and the Torah says we give truma smaisa means we give truma. We give the levi maisa, and the levi has to give to the kohen from the maisa that he receives truma smaisa. How much truma smaisa? 10%. So Malahalam, when we speak about the Trumas Meiser, it represents Echem Yisara 10%. So we learn here too, Afkan, here too, it has to be 10%, which means one of each type is given to the Kohen. Ask the Bryce or Kalach or Derech Seh. Maybe we could say Nemakan, the word Truma, but Nema Bikurim Truma. We know that the first fruits, we have to give Truma. And there, when we speak about Bikurim, the Loch is Ma'al, Lahala English Shir, there's no specific amount that has to be given as Bikurim. So we could suggest Afkan English Shir, there is no specific Shir. So the Sefer Oyel Shlomo asks an obvious question. The Gemara is presenting two options from where we can learn this, from Trumas Meiser or from Bikurim. From learning from Trumas Meiser, we end up with 10%. So it's, and we learn Bikurim, we won't have that. So isn't there a rule that whenever we have a hekesh and we have a choice which hekesh to learn, we go l'chumra? So why over here are we going l'kula? So he answers that truma bikurim actually represents a chumra. Because as we've learned in previous shurim, truma smais is indeed 10%, but it's not just 10%, it's limited to 10%. One cannot choose to give more than 10%. Actually, we've learned, were one to choose to give more than 10%, it could cause all sorts of complications. But Bikurim, we're not that locked into the shear. Yes, the halacha is that a kol shu is fine, but the halacha is that it doesn't necessarily have to be that number. And because it doesn't necessarily have to be that number, that's why it could be a chumrah, because you could give more. So, where we go back to where we started. When we speak about the truma by the Lach Meitaido, what does that mean? It says the one Lira Lami Doima. Let's look what is a better match. And says the Gemara, Donin Truma Shenachre Truma, after we give the mice Trumas Maisa, there's no more truma that has to be given. At Mitruma Shenachre Truma, this Lach Meitaido we give the Kayin their share, and that's it. And so to Betrumas Meiser, we'd give the Kohen his share, and that's it. Vayechir Bikurim, Shesh Achreim Tumurim. When we give a Kohen Bikurim, the halacha is that afterwards, we still have to give Truma Meiser from what's left on the tree. The question that many ask is a very big question. From which fruits do we have to give truma? So if we're going to say that we have to give truma from all fruits, this Gemara is most understandable. But there are opinions that we only give truma from the Zayiminim, the opinions that we only give from Dogen, Tirish, V'yitzer. So we're going to have to say, so what does the Gemara mean that there's always going to have to be truma if there's no chiv, a truma only by dog and tirish for yitzor, only by the zayim minim. So they say, what the Gemara means is that there's not always truma, but usually there's truma after the bikurim. Oi, but the Gemara is not satisfied. Oi, kalach derech zu, we can make another argument. Truma don and truma nechas b'makom kodesh in Yerushalayim, mit truma shenachas b'makom kodesh the bikurim in Yerushalayim, v'atichich truma smaiser shenachas b'makom kodesh. Truma smaiser may be eaten anywhere. Tamalayma, so we're back to where we started. From which truma do we learn the halacha of trumas lachmei taida? Tamalayma, the pasuk says, "Vikra mena echem kol kabman truma l'Hashem, v'ksiv v'trumas maisa v'remaisa mena truma." So the Gemara is saying that it's a gzeir shav, they should be treated the same way. Ask the Gemara, "Lemanul truma shechem asara." So what we've accomplished, says the Gemara, is that we know that the truma that's taken from the lachmei taida is 10%. But 10% of what? Aval any day of mikama hichala. What do we start off with that we're taking 10% from there? To which the Brisa responds, "Areini don nemekan lechem." The Torah about the lachmei taida says the word lechem. The pasuk says, "Achalus lechem chometz yakrav karbonoi al zevach taidas shlomov v'nemer b'halam b'shtei lechem." When we speak about the shtei lechem, the Torah says the word lechem. The pasuk says, "M'moish v'seichem taviu lechem tenuf v'shtayim shnei esroinim." Mal alan isaron lechala. The pasuk says, for each chala, it should be a sarin. Avkan isaron lechala. So we start that it should be. So the Gemara is saying it should be an isaron. Says the Gemara, a kalach l'derech zeh. We can make a counter argument. Nemakan. By lachem taida, the Torah used the word lachem. V'nal mel pachem parim lachem. Mala halon. Do we start? So we see that we use a sorin. Ask the Gemara. There we use shnei esroinus. Shnei esroinim yechal achas. Afkash shnei esroinus. Says the Gemara nila midama. So we have to look. What is a better match? Is the halacha of shtei lechem a better match or lechem upon him? Says when Nelamin Dunman, Dunam Minchabo Chometz Mazavach, we try to compare Mincha that's Chometz, that the Lachme Chometz come with 10 Chalas of Chometz. Minchabo Chometz Mazavach, the Shtei Lechem is also with the Kabonis Matz Chometz. Vayachal Lachem Panim, Shein Bo Chometz Mazavach. There, it's not brought with a carbon, it's brought separately. And since it's brought separately, the halacha is not the same. Oy. And therefore, the Gemara is saying the shtei lechem, which is something that accompanies a carbon, is a better match for lachmi taida, which obviously accompany a carbon, versus lechem upon him, which don't accompany a carbon. But says the Gemara, kalach derazeh. We can learn the lachmei taida come from something. We can bring the tefuah both from Eretz Yisrael and from Chutz Laretz. We can use chadash or yoshin. Mincha ba mechutz laretz, meretz mechutz laretz, min chadash min yoshin. Vayichichu shtei lechem sheni baim el min chadash. We could only use chadash from Eretz Yisrael. So we're still back to where we started. How do we know what we start with the lachmei taida? Tamaloyma. The pasuk says by the shtei lechem, the craft of mincha chadash l'Hashem and mashvei seichem taviu lechem tenufa shtayim shein tam alayim taviu. Why does the Torah use the word taviu? Ma tam alayim taviu kamakom shata mevi makom echer. Wherever you bring that bread with a carbon, harei kaze shtei lechem should serve as the model. Ma lahalan. And when we speak about the shtei lechem isaron lechala, af kan. The lachmei chometz that we began our shiur with, that are brought for the karma taida, are made up of isaron lechala. Ima lahalan shnei esroinus. Each chala is made up of two esroinus. Avkan shtei esroinus. Every one of the lachmei chometz, we use shtei esroinus to make the lachmei chometz. Tamaloymer says the Gemara toils tayena. The word tayena is coming to teach us that we should bring not just two esroin for the lachmei chametz, but actually 10 isaron, that each one should be equal to isaron. Says the Gemara, isaron elmanu sar lach chametz. So now we've been able to establish that how many chametz loaves do we bring? 10. But ask the Gemara, Sorrow la matzah minayin. How do we know we bring 10 matzah of the, each type of matzah loaf? Answers the Gemara, Tamaloymer, the Pasuk first speaks about the matzah, and says, Achals lechem chametz yakar v'menu. Neged chametz, the same amount that's used for the chametz, avei matzah. Nimtzu, so we come as we started the shir. Esrim esroinus l'lachmei toida. We bring a total of 20 esroinus for the lachmei toida. Asara used for the chametz, and asara used for the matzah. Continues the brisa. Yochol asara shem matzah yoy kulam amamachad. We would think that we only bring one type of matzah, but we've been learning you bring three types of matzahs. Tamaloymer. So we learned from there that there's matzah, there's chalas, rikikim, and revuka. So as we've been learning, every type of matzah is made up of three and a third isarin, shalosh chalas lisarin, and what we learn from here is that three chalas are used for the sarin, and we end up with 40, 30 of the matzah type, 10 of each, and 10 of the chametz type. Neutman arba, we take one of each and give it to the kohen, bashar, nechalon labalim, and the rest are eaten to the, by the owners. Amamar, we began earlier, says the Gemara, that vehikr vimenu mena mechubar. As we learned, that they all have to be together when we take off the Trumas Meiser, says the Gemara D'Ksiv. How do we know that they have to all be together? Because the Pasuk says, V'skol chelba yarmemenu. The Torah says that we take off the Emurim, and the Pasuk is saying that we take off the Emurim, and the Gemara is assuming after it's cut up. Hasamai mechuba ikar. What does that mean? That we shouldn't cut up the meat before we take the imurim. And similarly here, we should have them all together. The Torah says the word truma by lachma toida. Ask the Gemara, but instead of learning from there, says the Gemara, v'neilam trumas midyan. The Torah in Parshas Matos says that when Klai Yisrael went to the Melchemes Midyan, they took from the enemy, and they divided in two. Half were given to the soldiers who went out to war, and half were given to the people who stayed home. From the part that was given to the people who went out to the war, 500 were given to Elazar for Koyf for Truma Hashem. For the half that were given to the rest of the people, the Kahanim, the Levim got 1/50. So Rashi explains that the Gemara's question is that we should learn that just like there was 1/50, here too it should be 1/50. That's how Rashi over here explains. In other places, the Rishonim explain that the question is that it should be a 50th. The question is that it should be a 500th. Why don't we learn that shear? Says the Gemara, Don and Truma Nehegus L'Doiris. Trumas Maisa is for all generations. Trumas lachmei toida is for all generations. Don and truma ad neheges l'doris, and truma ad neheges l'doris. V'atachich trumas midyon, shen ad neheges l'doris. So it was a one-time event. Ask the Gemara v'neilef, but trumas chala. That the sheer chalav is 1/24th. Is a 1/24th. And a baker is 1/48th. Says the Gemara, so why don't we learn it from there, that the shear of truma by lach matayda is the 24th, answers the maratana bei Rishmol. Don and dover shenemer mimenu shenemer boy mimenu truma Hashem. Midover shenemer boy truma Hashem. Lefuki truma schalo. The Torah never says truma Hashem; it says truma la Hashem. So that's why the comparison to truma smaiser is better. By Rava truma lach matayda chayoven alayim misa. If somebody eats the trumas lach mitoida that belong to the kohanim, if a zar eats them, is there a chiv misa b'dei shemayim? Is there a chiv chaymish? If you add it, v'ayin a chayiv aleim misa v'chaymish. And the Gemara explains the basis for its question. Do we say kivin deshkish to trumas meiser? Do we say since it's similar to trumas meiser, so could trumas meiser done? It should be treated like trumas meiser. Idilma, since the pasuk by Truma says umeisa ba, boy means only by Truma Smaisa would that halacha apply, not elsewhere. And the Torah says, "Veisa she'echatam and hakadosh yishalom v'schemishas yos v'loy mit rachmana." So we would learn that this halacha only applies by Truma Smaisa and not by Truma Lachmei Toida. Furthermore, asked Rav Medamas, if it got mixed in with chulin, we know that the halacha is quite strict when Truma gets mixed up with chulin. So that would be the halacha by Truma Smaisa. So the Gemara wants to know, does that halacha apply by Trumas Lachmei Toido as well or not? Or Einam Medamas? And the Gemara remains with a takeo.